Okay, I want to show you something really cool because we have a new expanded microscope now set up in my studio. You'll see this on, on studio camera coming up soon. I want to show you this picture here. Now, this photo is of our sample under the microscope, and the sample looks like sort of bluish, like a bluish blob, blue water, or something like that. Actually, what it is, that is melted xylitol with one drop of methylene blue in it. And then just melted and stirred up. And then I poured it onto this Lexan plexiglass, basically, plate there. And you may notice there's an aluminum block underneath it. That aluminum block is 1 inch thick aluminum, very, very heavy mass. That is designed to accelerate the freezing of the xylitol crystals. And I'm going to show you that video here shortly. But what I do is I take that aluminum block and I stick it in the freezer and I freeze it. And then right when I'm ready to, well, then I have the hot xylitol ready. I pour the hot xylitol onto the plate. And then I put the plate onto the cold aluminum block, and then I stick all that under the microscope, which is what you see here, and that accelerates the freezing of xylitol. Now, during the freezing of xylitol, and that's kind of an odd term, okay? And there's a lot that I need to explain about this, but I'm not going to go into all the details here. Xylitol will sometimes freeze at room temperature. And when it freezes, it's like water in the sense that it starts forming crystals, and the crystals can form shapes. And those shapes are determined, as you know, if you follow my work, those shapes are determined by what's happening in the morphic fields, which is sort of a cosmic aggregation of consciousness, which I know sounds weird. But I've already shown this in other experiments last summer. I don't know if you recall the images I was asking 2 weeks before the first bombing of Iran. I was asking what's going to happen, and I wrote a prompt on a slide like this. I wrote it with a permanent marker, I think, or a paint marker. And it was asking about the war. And then the images that appeared showed stealth bombers flying over the desert, showed a one-horned ram very clearly. I showed you all these last year. I published them last year before the war. They're published on naturalnews.com. Showed a very clear sketched out image of a combat knife. Oh, and by the way, the one-horned ram has very specific meaning in Islam. The one-horned ram means that there would be a leadership decapitation, removing one of the horns from the ram. And the ram is tied to Abraham. If you go back to Old Testament, and of course, Abraham is also reflected in Islam, as is Jesus Christ, in case you're wondering about that. Jesus is explained as a prophet in Islam. A lot of Christians don't know that, but he is reflected in Islam. Anyway, the point is, I'm about to restart these experiments with some upgraded equipment and some AI analysis. So here's what's going to happen next. That I think will blow your mind, but I don't know for sure. We have to try it and see. I mean, this is like right on the edge of advanced science, and sometimes the experiments don't work. Sometimes they do, and then they blow people's minds, and other times they don't work. But let me tell you what I'm doing here. So you may have noticed from looking at this photo, and again, I'm about to show you some video. But from this photo, you may have noticed that the stage, which is that's the platform on which this aluminum block is sitting, that this stage is quite large. It is, in fact, very large. It's much larger than the stage of the previous microscope that I was using last year. Now, this microscope technology, it comes out of Japan, by the way. The company is called Keyence, Keyence. In fact, I think you can see that on one of the lenses in this photo. It's right there written on the lens, Keyence. And this microscope platform is called VHX. And this is their most advanced optical microscope. And it is ridiculously advanced. I mean, this is the highest end of Japanese engineering for optical analysis. It's just amazing. And one of the things it does is it automatically stitches images across a large area of observation. In this case, I can zoom in to something like, let's say, 500x or even 700x, although I may not run it that high. And I can have it in an X and Y grid. I can have it actually take these high magnification images across an area that is 100 millimeters by 100 millimeters square, which is about 4 inches. So 4 by 4 inches, which actually covers most of this entire slide here with the blue xylitol on it. Okay. But here's what's really interesting about that is that this microscope will also auto focus each of those images. So it'll do a Z movement up and down, find the right depth of field, find the right focus. Actually, it'll do a full depth of field image that brings a lot of depth into focus. And then it will stitch that together with the other images, and then it will move the right amount to go to the next tile, let's say. And I can tell it to scan 4 inches by 4 inches at a crazy high resolution like 700x, and it will do that, which will take hours, by the way, but it will automate that. See, the problem I ran into last year is that it was taking me many, many human hours to try to, number one, capture the images and look through all the images and try to identify objects. Like the falcon that we found in one of the images, which is, or the ram or other things. So what this microscope does is it automates the image capture. And I'm about to show you a video of this live, which is pretty wild, but it automates the image capture and it produces one giant, like really giant, I think it's a JPEG file or a PNG format. And this one image file can be like 500 megabytes or even a gig. And it can be crazy large, like 20,000 pixels across or even more. An image so large that most photo editors won't even be able to load it. It's just way too big. Like, you couldn't even load it in Photoshop, I don't think, unless you had some kind of supercomputer or something. But what I can do with that image then, and this is the next step that I'm working on, is I can have AI vision language models work through that image, taking advantage of local GPUs, you know, in my mini data center that I'm running. And I've got a photo about that to show you here pretty soon. And then the local OCR vision language models will find objects. And it may take a local system. It could take like 12 hours, maybe longer. We'll see. I haven't done this part yet. It might take 24 hours to scan one image and try to find common objects, like, you know, animals, birds, shapes, buildings, you know, symbols, these kinds of things. And then, of course, I'm going to vibe code this whole thing. It's actually going to be pretty simple. And then it's going to produce all the little snapshots of the objects that it found on this slide. And it's going to save those off as little separate JPEGs in its own folder. And it will record the coordinates, like which tile had this particular object or shape or whatever. And then we'll have to adjust the looseness or how tight the definitions are. Like, you know, is that the shape of a heart? Kinda. Or, you know, like, we would have to adjust the kinda parameters, you know, like how loose of a shape fit do we allow? That's some of the fine tuning that's going to have to happen with this. And also, what kinds of different objects are we looking for? We're looking for like faces and people or common objects like objects of war or like airplanes or you know, symbols of love, symbols of violence, you know, nature. I already mentioned animals, things like that. So this is the next stage of my project here, which is all about consciousness expressed through the formation of crystals as a common sugar, xylitol, is freezing at room temperature. Yeah, and we're going to learn a lot from this, because what I've already figured out, and that almost nobody else knows or seems to even be willing to entertain, is that you can actually ask questions of the cosmos the same way you would prompt an AI model. It's just that the universe is even smarter than all the AI models, and the universe will answer your question in different kinds of formats, including here in xylitol. And no, by the way, for those of you like, is it like a demon Ouija board? No. This is God's cosmos, and God built this into the cosmos. This is something that the creator of our entire simulation engineered into the entire universe. And it's also something that your brain automatically works on. This is one of the sources of human creativity, or human divinity, or individuality, consciousness, self-awareness. These are all because of connections to this divine system of morphic resonance that actually allows you to ask the universe and then to receive, which in the Christian tradition is called prayer. That's right, prayer. Well, I guess it's more than the Christian tradition. It's called prayer. Even in Islam, it would be called prayer. In Buddhism, it might be called meditation. Same mechanism, exactly the same mechanism. You are putting out your intention. You're asking God or the universe or the morphic resonance fields, which are actually just different ways to describe the same cosmic intelligence, by the way. You're asking questions, and then you're allowing the answers to be expressed in things that you are consciously observing. And because of that, you will get information. Now, this works in water. Dr. Emoto did this with Messages from Water, I think was the name of that book, where he would freeze water crystals and find all of these shapes. And then I've been told that there's a woman doing this. I think her name is Austin, or is it Jane? Is it Jane Austin? I'm sorry if I'm getting that wrong, but I think that's her name, who's also doing it with water, I believe, and seeing lots of images and capturing images of different shapes, like birds and all kinds of things in water crystals, which is great. It's just that I pioneered the technique for doing this with xylitol, because I don't have to sit in a freezer. Yeah, I can do it at room temperature, and I'm using this aluminum block to help me freeze the xylitol more quickly. So now I'm going to show you some video of this happening in real time. Now, to my editor, I want you to show, I think it's about the last 4 minutes of the segment that we recorded in the studio a couple days ago. And then for those of you viewing, I want you to just watch what's happening. Now, this is zoomed in. I think the magnification of this is, it's either 500x or maybe as much as 700, but it's somewhere in that range, as I recall. And this was just a test. And what you're seeing is, as the crystal freezes, it is forming structure, but it's also doing something that I call scribbling. Or in an AI engine, you would call it rendering. You would say it's rendering, or sometimes it's called in painting. It's painting pixels if you're using an AI engine. In this case, we're using physical crystals to build 3D structures in the 3D world. So it's not just pixels on a screen. It's 3D structures that are not just random chance. Now, we haven't written a prompt on this this plexiglass. So who knows what we're going to get out of this? I have no idea. It could just be random, or it could be something that's reflecting some consciousness in the world, whatever is happening right now. But what you're watching right now is the construction of crystals as the xylitol is freezing. And with each molecule that then goes through this phase transition, it is making, I mean, I'm just going to use a common term. I'm going to say it's making a choice, but that's probably not the right term because it doesn't have neurology, doesn't have a brain itself. You know, it's not a living system, obviously. These are just very simple sugar molecules. But there are structures that are being imprinted upon it from outside of itself. Noesis is a term that I use to describe this. So it's not that there's neurology inside xylitol, because there isn't. I mean, look at it. We can see right through it. There are no organelles in there. There's no cell membranes, nothing, right? But it's receiving an overlay of information from outside of itself. And that's especially notable because if you know anything about the history of xylitol, you know that before the year, what was it, 1941, I think, it was in the 1940s. Before that year, xylitol would always stay liquid at room temperature everywhere around the world. It only began to form crystal structures in the 1940s. And once it began to form crystal structures, that imprint, that template of information, was instantly imprinted into the cosmic fields, the morphic resonance. And then from that day forward, all of the xylitol all around the world began to freeze at room temperature. Now, I've covered this before. This is well documented. This is part of history. And there are other crystalline structures. There was even a drug made by a drug company that suddenly one day it just started forming crystals all over the world simultaneously. Nobody could figure it out. The chemists were baffled. They had to reformulate the whole thing. But I know why that happened. And Rupert Sheldrake is the author and the science investigator who has written about this. And he's the one, I believe he's the one who coined the term morphic resonance. So I'm borrowing that term from Rupert Sheldrake. But now I'm able to show morphic resonance happening in real time, which is what you're watching right now, in the 3D world. Now, what you're watching isn't very colorful. As I recall, it was a lot of darker colors, some blacks and grays and things like that. I was just doing this as a quick test, by the way. But as you've seen with some of the other photos that I've published and other videos, just xylitol will create structures that under light can have any color. They can be golden. We have many examples of golden colors. We have red, we have blues, we have greens. We have snow scenes that look like a snow blizzard with Christmas lights in the background, you know? We have all kinds of scenic images that I captured last year. And again, many of them I published, and some of them foretold things or events that were about to happen. One of them showed an image of a building in Tel Aviv with missiles raining down out of the sky. And then literally 2 weeks later, that exact image was broadcast on mainstream media, like an almost perfect replica. And I published that last year. Perhaps you've already seen that. That is published at naturalnews.com with the correct dates, because I published that image publicly 2 weeks before the news broadcast that video actually happening, just as depicted in the image. Now, to my editor, if we go to the end of this, just loop it, you know, just start it over again, because I think it's only 4 minutes of this video. Just play it again, because I have a couple more comments here. One of the things that's really mysterious about this is that as I've done this with xylitol crystals, or with xylitol that's melted, excuse me, there are times where xylitol would not freeze for weeks or even months. And that would happen in certain blobs of xylitol. So if I were to make a lot of individual blobs, let's say, and you can see, like on the original image under the microscope, some of the blobs are isolated from other blobs. Well, once crystals start forming in a blob, that's a molecular spark or seed or structural template that will propagate throughout that entire blob. So once there's one crystal forming in one blob, it will eventually spread and take over the entire blob. But I have seen blobs where no crystals formed, like I said, for weeks or months. And even though xylitol is cooler than the so-called freezing temperature, which means it should form xylitol ice crystals, you could call them, maybe, but it doesn't. So sometimes xylitol resists crystallization, even at cooler temperatures, which is very interesting to me because of the history of xylitol. Remember, before the 1940s, it was always liquid at room temperature and it would never form crystals. Now it tends to form crystals at room temperature because, the chemistry hasn't changed. The molecule hasn't changed. You know, the laws of chemistry did not change from 1941 to 2026, right? Every chemist would agree with that. The laws of chemistry did not change. What changed? What changed is the patterns, the overlay templates of structural patterns that exist in the morphic fields that all matter is connected to. All matter, which would include xylitol, obviously, all matter is connected to morphic fields. Why? Because we are living in a simulation. Ultimately, that's why. I mean, we're living in a simulated, well, I mean, gosh, this is a whole podcast by itself. It's as real as anything else you observe. You, the observer, you make it real. The universe is rendered for conscious minds as necessary to portray the holodeck, let's say, the 3D space that your biological body inhabits as a bioproxy for your conscious mind, which is not in the simulation. So your mind, your consciousness is not in your skull, by the way. It's outside this entire realm. It's outside the 3D space, okay? As is the creator of the simulation, outside the 3D space. You know, in different religious traditions, they have different names for that. In Christianity, it's heaven. And heaven is in a different dimension, up in the sky, or that's what they like to say, but it's not really up or down. It's outside the simulation. So it's in a completely larger, transcendent, dimensional expression that we can't, fathom here. But our physical bodies are inhabited by our non-physical, or I should say they are controlled by our non-physical minds and consciousness, which interfaces with our physical biological brains. A similar thing happens with all matter. All matter is, of course, just, let's say, a standing wave of energy or a standing wave of probability waves. Or wait, that sounds redundant. A standing wave of probabilities, a collapsed probability wave. Okay, the observer effect, right? Quantum realities, quantum phenomena. These are all factors here, but all matter is just an expression of energy, and all matter is connected to morphic fields that are templates for how things are structured and how things function and how things behave in the simulation. And I've talked before about how spiders are born knowing how to build spider webs and how to engineer very, very complex structures, by the way, and how to repair them and diagnose them, which they do. I've observed this myself on purpose. Even though no spider ever went to spider school, and in the spider genetics, there are no genes that describe spider web repair, it turns out. So this is beyond genetics, or you could say epigenetic or transcendent, way beyond the physical state of genetics. And it turns out that when you look at genetics, and of course I'm teaching an entire course on genetic survival and gene repair right now, when you look at genetics, mostly just describes the synthesis of physical proteins that run much of your body, including hormones and other things, and how to build neurons and how to build skin cells and how to build, blood cells, etc., right? How to rebuild stem cells as needed, things like that. So your DNA is simply the physical construction blueprint for your biological body that is in touch with and controlled by your non-physical mind/spirit or soul. Okay. Now, I know this might sound like a tangent here, but it's actually all related, because you will never be able to understand why xylitol will freeze into shapes that answer a human prompt if you don't understand that all matter is connected to consciousness. See, I mean, this fundamental underlying pillar of our reality has to be understood first. And of course, Western science has zero understanding of this. Western science thinks everything is separate, that nothing is connected, and that all matter is made of little tiny parts, particles they call them. And if you have a powerful enough super collider, you could find all the particles, including what they call the God particle. They think God is a particle, like a subatomic particle that they think they can catch on camera or something. Well, you know, not an optical camera, obviously. But they are completely misled. Inside all the particles is nothing but energy, and inside all the energy is consciousness. So there's conscious connection. All right, now, so what you're watching in this video is a crystal that is receiving information from a cosmic template. Now, in this case, I didn't ask it anything. I didn't push any intention into this because I was just running a little demo here. But what I'm about to do is, of course, we'll start putting intentions into these and we'll see what we get. Now, let me show you another photo here. This is some wiring. This is my hand working with a bunch of wires here. This is actually the backside of the motherboard of a large tower workstation. Now, in order to run these AI vision language models, and also I'm working on some video rendering upgrades using Minimax H3, but I'm doing these hardware upgrades to my mini data center, and much of what I have to do involves thermal management, because GPUs produce a tremendous amount of heat. So typically the problems you have are power source management. How do you provide enough electricity through, obviously, UPSs that can handle it, which is more difficult than it sounds. And then also, how do you handle the thermal, the heat production? And thermal management is handled through either high-speed fans or liquid coolers, both of which I'm using in this particular tower right here. So if I could show you the other side of this picture, which I don't have that, this system actually has two GPUs in it. Both of them are NVIDIA 6000 Pros. So the GPUs, each of them has 96 gigs of RAM or VRAM, and each of them defaults to running at 600 watts. Now, you can turn those down, which I do. I turn them down to 450 watts. Otherwise, they would just cook, and you can't run them over what, like maybe maximum 95 Celsius. I don't even let them get that high. I set them to top out at 86 degrees Celsius. I don't want them hitting 90 ever. But in order to do that, you have to move a lot of air through the case. And in order to do that, you have to have dynamic control over the fan speeds. So the RPMs of the fans matter. So what I have done, which I feel really good about here, is I used the AI vibe coding to write a relatively simple Python script that monitors the power draw of the GPUs off the 12-volt power backbone of the motherboard. And as the power draw increases, the system automatically ramps up the RPMs of the case fans even before temperatures rise. So the case fans go faster just based on the draw of power. And that starts the cooling effect, you know, right away. So I don't want to lag behind rising temperatures. So I actually have this monitoring system, and it's giving me real-time readouts of GPU temps, and it's cranking up the fans, which you can hear, because some of these fans run at 3000 RPM. And yeah, you can definitely hear those fans, because they're screaming and they're just thrusting air through the system. And of course, the system is a giant heater box, which is fun in the winter because I don't have to run any other heaters. But in summer months, it's a huge pain because then I have to expend extra energy for the cooling of all this excess heat. But I've done research on these GPUs, and I know that if I turn them down from 600 watts to 450 watts, I only lose 8% of the video rendering output, or even the visual language analysis output. I only lose 8%. So I can cut power by 25%, and I still get 92% of the same benchmarks of throughput. So in my mind, that's a pretty good trade-off. That's why I have them tuned down to 450 watts. But I have multiple workstations like this, and what I'm gearing up for, I should mention, I don't have a picture for this, but the Unsloth company just announced a new desktop tool for LLM fine-tuning training on your desk without having to write code, which is something I knew this was coming. I've been waiting for this. You know, a couple of years ago, we had to use a lot of heavy-duty engineering and hire specialists and spend a lot of money to build the original Enoch LLM that you can download for free. It's open source at brightanswers.ai. And now, thanks to Unsloth, as long as you have a capable workstation with enough GPU RAM, you can just download a model like a new Qwen model, and Qwen 3.8 just came out. And then I can take all of the data that I've been gathering for years, you know, millions of pages of articles and science papers and transcripts and, you know, lots of books and things like that, but also huge donations from Dr. Mercola and Sayer G and Ty Bollinger, The Truth About Cancer. Even Dr. Chris Martinson sent me his entire body of articles all the way back to 2008. So anyway, we have all of this, plus everything I've ever written, all the interviews I've ever done, all those transcripts, every article ever published on Natural News, etc. Massive collection of knowledge. We can now use that with this new software to simply train AI models to now add or expand their memory to all of this new knowledge, thanks to Unsloth. So these workstations, the one that I just showed you the photo of, these workstations have dual purpose. They're not just for doing, well, more than dual. They can do vision language analysis of the crystal microscopy images. They can do video rendering, which you'll see a lot more of coming up soon. Of course, they can do text generation and image generation. That's straightforward. But they can also do model training. So my goal for you is to take the new Qwen 3.8 models, and I think there'll be a 9 billion model or an 8 billion model. Maybe it's already out. I'd have to check. The first thing I'm going to do is train that model with all the knowledge that we have, and then I'll release that model for free. So you'll have a new version of the original Enoch model, which is kind of outdated. I mean, let's face it, that was more like around the Qwen 7 billion generation. So it's like 2 years old, which in the world of AI is ancient. It needs to be retired, you know. But we'll use Qwen 3.8. Again, probably a 9 billion parameter model. We'll train that first. If that goes well, then my goal is to train a 27 billion parameter model, which Qwen has. And that's a really, really good model. The 27B, it's actually my favorite everyday model. It's a workhorse. It's amazing. The thing is, I just don't know if it's going to fit, if the training of it will fit in 96 gigs of VRAM. Now, the Unsloth algorithms will allow you to use effectively 60 or 70% less memory in a GPU than what you would normally have to use otherwise. And the Unsloth people are very clever. I've talked with them. They are very, I mean, high-level math people, very smart. So they have all these efficiencies built into their training algorithms. The bottom line is, if I can train a 27 billion parameter model, then I will. And I would hope to have that out by Christmas, maybe sooner. But a 9 billion parameter model, I think I could, well, I have to factor in screw-ups and power failures and bad data formatting and mismatched fields and things. I mean, if it were a smooth run, it could probably train the model in like 1 week on our complete data set. But figuring all the other mishaps and problems and learning the config files and everything, it'll probably take me a few passes at that. So let's give that a couple of months. So let's say, what is it? It's mid-August right now. Let's say by Halloween. How about that? Let's say by Halloween, I want to get you a new, like a 9 billion parameter model. Again, free, open source. You'll be able to download it, run it locally. And then by Christmas, if possible, I want to get you a 27 billion parameter model that will have all this knowledge about natural health, natural cures, you know, the drill, all this stuff. And then you'll be able to keep that model locally and run it locally. And you'll have all that knowledge at your fingertips. No one can ban it. No one can censor it. No guardrails, etc. It's going to rock. You will love it. So that's what I'm up to. That's my update. Xylitol experiments, morphic resonance, cosmic consciousness within the sim, beefing up the data center, thermal management, high-density GPUs for vision language analysis, model training, plus video rendering. So that's pretty much, there goes the rest of my year, you know, all the way to Christmas. There shall be no breaks between now and then, just plowing through all this stuff and scaling it up and then sharing the results with you. So it's going to be interesting. If you want to help support us, of course, shop at healthrangerstore.com. You can check out our affiliates page and our sponsors at rangerdeals.com. And there we've got like the satellite phone store with the sat phones. We've got sources for, you know, ivermectin for pets. We've got gold and silver affiliates there, like Battalion Metals, which is amazing. You know, we've got Above Phone there with the de-googled phones that people absolutely love. Just some hand-picked partners with some equipment that will help you make it through whatever is coming. And if you want to stay informed about all of this, then of course follow me at brightvideos.com. That's brightvideos.com. All my videos and interviews there. And then naturalnews.com for the articles and the infographics and of course the photos. Once we have some really awesome photos from the xylitol experiments, then I will be publishing those at naturalnews.com and you'll be able to check them out there. And of course, I'll publish some videos of the real-time stuff. You know, the actual real-time sketching and scribbling and building of structures. We may speed those up, you know, like a 4x speed increase is typically what we would do because the freezing can be quite slow and boring. But what I showed you today is just 1x, you know. Imagine that at 4x or 16x. Sometimes we've done that. So pretty interesting stuff. All right. Thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Got a lot on my plate, but it's an exciting time to be alive. And it's an exciting time to be an adventurer in our cosmos and to be asking the big questions of how this whole thing works. I mean, the simulation, how it all works, how it's all connected, and hopefully how we can, you know, help each other survive and thrive, you know, to be happier and more productive and healthier through this entire thing. And while the demonic entities are trying to exterminate all of humanity, right? Just to make things interesting. It's like, really? Why'd you have to pick Earth? You know, go terrorize some other planet. You know, no, we're going to defeat evil here on this planet. And it's going to be truly epic. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.
Beet juice is a refreshing beverage that can help you stay energized. You can easily incorporate beet juice into your daily routine with Groovy Bee Organic Freeze-Dried Beet Juice Powder. Only at healthrangerstore.com.